Because when you have that moment of being overwhelmed, I've had those too, where it's like, okay, you're just doing too much. You put all this on your plate. Right. You don't even have to do all of this.
Yeah, he packs so much in us, but we have to rely on him to unpack it.
Yeah.
Welcome to Changing Lives. We are changing lives with the Word of God. We are here with another podcast, and I'm so glad that you tuned in. We have a special guest with us today, and we're going to be discussing some wonderful topics that's going to empower your life. You know that's what we do here at Changing Lives. We empower your life to be successful in God. And so I want to introduce to you my special guest, Co-Pastor Shelley Dagner. We welcome you to the podcast today. Co-Pastor Shelley is a wonderful person. She, of course, is a daughter in ministry to Bishop and myself. And she actually, her and her husband were part of Mount Gilead a while back. And I'll let her give us a little bit more about her bio. But for me, let me just say a little bit about her. She is a precious person in the Lord, loves the Lord with all of her heart. And so... Like I said, her and her husband were here in ministry with us, and they were sent out. And it's just a joy to see her model the example of a godly woman of God, seeing her model godliness in the workforce as well as in ministry. And it's just a blessing to see her do it with grace. And so she's going to share a little bit about her bio so you can understand where she's coming from. But we're going to get into the Word. We've been talking about being balanced, being organized, talking about the benefit packets that the Lord has blessed us with, operating and flowing in all things that the Lord has given us to life and godliness, and to really set our mind for action. And so we're just going to get into some deeper conversation. We know that as you listen in, that you're going to be blessed and that you're going to receive nuggets that's going to be able to empower you for success in life. So amen. Pastor Shelley, tell us a little bit about who you really are.
Amen. Well, thank you, Co-Pastor. I'm honored to be here, humble to be sitting here with you. As co-pastor said, I'm co-pastor at Word of God International Ministries. I co-labor with my husband, Pastor Anthony Dagner. We joined Mount Gilead 2007, and we were sent out in 2015 and been connected ever since. So I feel like we're just continuously been Gileadites. In that part time of starting ministry, I have spent the last almost 30 years in corporate America, working at Capital One, leading IT space. The last couple of years went into HR as part of that. And then 2 years ago, I think I talked to you about, like, I just feel like I'm, you know, overwhelmed. I feel like the grace is gone. And we had that conversation, and that led to me actually retiring, because you were like, okay, maybe God's saying it's time for something different. Mm-hmm. And so, and you even mentioned to me, you said, don't worry about the six-figure salary, so forth and so on. And so I moved out of IT and went into HR. Yeah. And then I realized, I was like, co-pastor wouldn't have said anything about the salary piece if I still was going to be here. Yeah. So I made a shift, like I need to do something different. And then I found I was doing the same thing all over. I went into HR and I built this large team and I built the strategy, and all of this stuff came back on, which was then pulling and conflicting with ministry.
Yeah.
And so retired. And to be honest, I went through a state of depression, because it was like, who am I?
Right.
Now that I'm not this person that's leading this organization and so forth.
Yeah.
And I found that, and I like to say I do business. It's like strategy. I like to build things. I like to work with people.
Yeah.
And so I actually started doing some consulting, because ministry is rewarding in a way that corporate America could never be.
Yeah.
But then there's a piece of me that likes to strategize and do different things.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about that more, but That was a real long introduction, but that's me.
It really helped us to understand, you know, where you're going to be coming from and imparting and sharing. 30 years is a long time. Yeah. And I think that's awesome that you to me exudes out of what you're sharing, you know, the passion that you have for, you know, the workforce in corporate America. And I'm sure that you can identify with a lot of things that we've been talking about in the podcast. Yes. And I know that that's going to be a blessing, you know. But I do want to back it up a little bit because I thought it was really good that you expressed that there were some real things that you experienced in those transitions, because every transition is not a piece of cake.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when you're dealing with transition, it requires a lot. And I often say, you know, wherever you are, that's a territory, you know, and, you know, Bishop has released a prophetic word years ago with Mount Gilead, pursuing, advancing, and taking territories. And anytime that you pursue anything, anytime that you advance or take territories, it requires something out of you. But it also is a spiritual thing that happens. And the enemy is not going to be like, oh, you just go for it. I'm just going to let you go. No, if he sees that you're getting ready to transition and take territories, he's going to bring about spiritual warfare that's going to try to just knock you off your feet.
Right.
And so tell me a little bit about that. You know, you said that you experienced depression, you know, for a moment. And what was that and where did it come from?
I think the first thing was, I mean, the first few weeks, I was like, I'm retired. You know, I would tell people, when I retire, I'm going to show you how to retire. It's just going to be just wonderful. And I went through that space of like, I could do what I want, get up when I want. No one was managing my time. And then I just found like, again, ministry is so rewarding. Yeah. But it was just this other piece of my identity so long was, you know, this person that's leading and developing and drive. And it was just like, so who am I now?
Yeah.
And one thing Pastor would say to me all the time was, I need you to take what you're doing at Capital One. I need you to bring it to ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking, I'm helping run ministry. I'm doing this. I'm setting up this. I help. I didn't understand it for the longest time. I'm like, I'm doing it.
Right.
And after going through this depression of like, it was like I needed more to put my hands to. And it wasn't until I let that go. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you talked about counting the costs. Mm-hmm. I hadn't counted the cost. And not from a financial standpoint, right. but I hadn't counted the cost of, if you're going to take this out, what are you going to put in that space? Right. And so I was kind of
fortitude that you need for the next level. Yeah.
And so I was just sitting there kind of flailing around. And I then began, I started doing this consulting piece, which opened up, oh, this is what you want to do. And so, you know, the childcare center that we're working on, I'm working on something with my son. So it's like all these things that were in me and I'm like, oh, that's what, and they're all kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's business. But it's business for kingdom. And so that's how I got out of that. I had to fill that space. I had to fill this part of me with doing business, but doing it for ministry and doing it for kingdom. Yeah. And so that helped me evolve through that spot of like, because I was like, oh my God, so what did you do? Did you not? Even though you know you heard God, but when you go through something like that, it's like, well, should I? You know, I even had thoughts of like, do I go back?
Yeah.
Do I do something in a small thing? But something about me and my husband says, you don't know how to just do this. He makes fun. He says, you like the kid in the class. Like, I know the answer. And I'm like, no, it's just when I do something, I give it my all. And if I see a strategy or I see here's a better way, I kind of go all in with that. So now I'm doing it for the kingdom business.
Right. And I like how you say kingdom, because kingdom really doesn't have the boundaries.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in the actual corporate America setting or you're in church or you're at home, kingdom is kingdom.
Yes.
And I think that's good that you saw that there was something that was lacking and it's evident that God placed it on the inside of you.
Yes.
And that it was meant to be a continual tapping into, you know, for kingdom.
Yes.
And so I think that's very powerful when you're able to see the difference, you know, because sometimes, you know, I believe that God doesn't waste anything. You know, everything, those 30 years, that's a long time. And not just the mechanics, the strategies and all that, just the whole total being, spirit, soul, and body, that you were there in present form.
Yes.
So there's a lot that you assimilated in that atmosphere, in that environment, and working with people and all of that, you know? And so we've been talking about the godliness, you know, from out of, let me just give the scripture, because I think it will definitely help to bring it full circle. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And this is what I shared with a message dealing with. It's a setup.
Yeah.
According as his divine power has given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. And so even though, you know, we tend to separate, which we separate church from state, we separate business from you know, ministry and all of that, but God sees it all as an opportunity for kingdom to be advanced, you know? And so in that confound, when you look at, he's given us all things that pertains to life and godliness, and you're being, I don't know how long have you been saved?
Since, for real, saved is the difference. And that was 2001, for real saved. Like, right. We always, like, back in the day, like, I'm so old, but anyway, back in the day, no. You had to go to church. And
right.
It was a mandate. So I've been in church my entire life,
yeah.
But really saved, I want to say 2001, when we understood not compromising. I thank God for you and Bishop, and even we didn't know what a spiritual father was, but our pastor in a Baptist church that we had, and he taught us holiness.
Yeah.
And even if it's just one that gets it, there's no compromise. Like, you don't tell people use protection. You tell them don't have
right.
relations. And so it started there, and that's when it became real,
yes.
that we weren't a Christian, a worldly Christian, but for real, we're going to do this thing for real.
Right, right. So for those 30 years, you weren't fully saved.
Right.
You had a form of.
Yes, a form
godliness.
Of. Yes, yes.
you know, in the scripture, that's in Timothy talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And, you know, when you allow the power of God to infiltrate your life, it begins to affect every area. So tell us a little bit about that transition. What did that look like even in the workforce? Because, you know, we can do, quote unquote, a form of godliness in church and
right.
even in the workforce. But when God really gets a hold of you, it's not something you can take off,
can't turn it off,
put on, you know, it's something that's a part of you. So tell us about that whole dynamics.
For me, it was just living, like, just automatic. You talked about it when someone said, like, so what does godliness look like? It's just like, it's just a part of who I am now. And so I always had like a moral aspect to it, but I remember it's an MVP. I reported to her, and I walked past her office one day, and she was like, can you come in? And so I came in, and she's like, serious? I'm like, not knowing what's going on. And she said, I want to apologize to you. And I was like, for what? And she was like, because I curse like a sailor around you. And she was like, I'm going to stop doing that.
Wow.
And I never said, like, don't curse around me. I just didn't curse. She knew, you know, who I was and what I stood for, because sometimes in the corporate world, people feel free to curse and do whatever. And then we as Christians, we feel like, oh, I can't say Jesus, or I can't. Like, I'd be talking to someone and be like, thank you, Holy Spirit, if he brought something back to me.
Yeah.
Because if they're free to talk in whatever language they use, this is my language.
Yeah.
And good. So
You just helped a whole lot
Amen.
Of people right there.
Amen. And even things where people would say, let me be the devil's advocate. Like, we'd be talking about something, and I would tell people every time, can we just say, let's play the other side of the fence? Like, why we got to be the devil's advocate? And right. so I would explain to them, understand the words that you're saying. And it was just common in corporate America, cursing and let's play the devil almost every meeting. And it got to a point that I would take a stand whenever I would hear it. And so my team and everyone around me would begin to say, we can't say be the devil's advocate. Shelly was like, we got to say the other side of the fence. And so just doing that created a culture. And she was to the point, like, she was in tears. And this is a lady that's like two levels above me.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then she went into a whole meeting with all of our leadership. These are senior directors and above
wow.
and told everyone that she apologized to me. Now, And my prayer was, I want them to get that it's not me.
Yeah.
That when I'm not in the room, God's in the room. Mm-hmm. That's the real progress.
Yeah.
But at least that was a starting point, because you have so many Christians who say, like, I go to church.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian, whatever their language is. And then they're cursing like sailors. And it's just like, you can't tell, but there was a difference of a, she had never obviously encountered like someone really,
yeah,
that is living the values that they say they stand for.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that living epistle that is talked about in the Word. And that's what we all should be striving for. But it's awesome to see how you didn't have your Bible and preaching fire and brimstone.
Beating them over the head. No.
You know, and, you know, but it was your life that you lived. And, you know, it just came naturally out of you. Of course, you trained yourself in that. You weren't always like that.
Right.
You know, but it goes to show, when you take a stance, whether it's a stance inwardly or outwardly, then, you know, your atmosphere and those around you, environment around you, will have to,
right,
you know, either shift, change, move out, you know, or do something. But it's going to respond to the godliness that's on the inside of you, you know. And so we're not saying to, you know, to go to work or wherever you may be, you know, and you're dealing with people, to, you know, just tell people, they give them boundaries and you know, do's and don'ts. No, live the life, you yes. know, of godliness that we learn about in church, because that makes a world of difference.
Right.
And so powerful.
Yeah.
You gave me an equation as it relates to,
yes.
you know, godliness.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
First, consistency equals lifestyle. If I continue to put God first, like I'm seeking Him first,
yeah.
I'm thinking about Him first, mm-hmm. and everything I'm doing, I'm making room for Him. I'm making room to hear.
Yeah.
So I'm just, everything I do, He's first. And then if I do that consistently,
yes,
it becomes a lifestyle. And so even when you were ministering on the podcast, like, well, it's who I am. And that's how I felt like it becomes that, because it's like, well, He's automatically first. He's
yeah.
automatically my one and only. I automatically do these things, and then I just keep doing it, because I feel like a trick of the enemy sometimes is people want to kind of bite the whole cake. And it's like, well, one of the biggest tricks of the enemy is people say, I'm going to get myself together, then I'm going to come to church.
Right, right.
And the enemy knows, like, you can't get yourself together yeah. without the Word of God. You can't do that on your own. And so that step by step, like, yep, He's first here, 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 creates that consistency. Like you said, the habits,
yeah.
it creates that consistency. And now that's just my lifestyle,
right,
because I've
right.
done that first and that consistency.
Right.
So,
but and let me just make it clear, you know, I still have some inconsistencies that I'm working on.
That's good.
I just want to make it clear. I'm always in a state that's of being good. Perfected, but there are some areas where it's so much a part of me. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, I believe that godliness needs to be cultivated mm-hmm. in more. Those areas, you know, when you are, you know, not showing yourself lovely.
Yes.
You know, the Lord was just dropping some things in my spirit dealing with marriage. You know, we know the love that we're supposed to have between one another.
Right.
But let's go a little deeper. You know, mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you love your husband,
right.
but are you lovable to him?
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
And then, you know, do you make it easy for him to love you?
That's good.
You know, and then the flip side of it, are you lovely, you yes. know, towards him, you know what I'm saying? And so, so how are you treating him, you
that's
know?
Good.
And so, you know, so that's a work in progress, because
I'm
not 100%.
Yeah. I love that you said that. And it is like that consistency, but not, you're being perfected.
Yeah.
But you do have those moments. I love that you said you were ministering this past weekend when we were in Pennsylvania, and you said, I thought my thing was patience, because I would say that all the time. And I have my scripture, let patience have a perfect
yes.
work, that I may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And when you said, I realized it wasn't patience I needed, it was gentleness and kindness. And I said, oh,
yes,
because I can be yeah. a strong cup of coffee sometimes
yeah,
when it's
yeah.
like, and I'm doing it sometimes in the name of a help.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Pastor was talking about last, I think it was Wednesday, when he ministered, and he was talking about how He said, when God put co-pastor Brain together, he was just like, because she can just remember 100 things.
Oh, God.
He said, and I used to fight that. He said, I would be like, please. Sometimes just like, please. And I'm like, but we need this. And I realized that it wasn't necessarily just patience.
Yeah.
I needed to work on some gentleness and some kindness. And even in corporate America, my son talked to someone that knew someone on my team. And he was like, you know, everybody's kind of scared of your mom. Is she kind of bossy at home? And he was honest with him. But at the same time, he said, but then she'll make you for like $1 million. And so I had to realize like, okay, I didn't want my brand, because my brand was in corporate America that I was aggressive, mm-hmm. but they said in a good way. They were they were saying it like it was positive, and I didn't like the, and I told them, I said, I don't want that to be my brand. I want to be assertive where you respect me when I come in the room because we're here to do business, but not where you're intimidated by me.
Right.
And so I had to make that shift. And even at home, my husband would tell me when I was like, hey, you ain't at Capital One right now. So like, you ain't the boss here. Turn that
down.
And so I realized I had to work on that. And also know when to leave a bag at the door and understand now you've shifted into a different atmosphere. So that blessed me, because sometimes that was even a trick of the enemy. He had me thinking, girl, you just need some patience. But it was like, oh no, I need some gentleness and some kindness. So that was great to hear.
I think that's all a part of the process of just being trained and exercising godliness, is that it's never a point of arrival.
Yes.
And no matter what setting you're in, you should always be in that mindset of, okay, let me allow the Holy Spirit to work in me. You know, and when he does, there's going to be some things that are just, oh, wonderful, and that you really, but then he's going to see that you're ready to receive this area that he's been waiting to let you know you need some work in that area.
Yes.
And I believe that was the case, you know, with me. Yeah. He said, well, she can work on patience. Wow. Wow. You know, I set her up to get to that place to realize you need some gentleness. You need some kindness, you know, and, you know, and, and it has to be one of those things where it's not just here and there, you know. So there were some inconsistencies, you know. And so, but when I wanted to really allow the Lord to cultivate that in me, I had to come to terms with, okay, well, you're going to have to work on this. And there's a lot more that I'm sure that he's going to show me as I go. And there's a lot more that I'm not ready to share with you right now, okay? Thank you. All right. But praise God for that. I mean, that's good, because, you know, oftentimes, like I said, we want to separate those things, you know, and the importance of godliness and how that, you know, this is what God has given us all things towards, you know, his divine power. You know, that's, it says his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, and so if you are that work in progress, which all of us should be, and you should be at that place of recognizing that it is. And I think the other thing is this, because we are a work in progress. The enemy would want to flip the script on us to make us think that there's something wrong with us, you know, and we focus so much on that area that needs work, you know, that it can work at our self-worth or our identity or our faith in believing that we can do great things or whatever. And so, and I know that, you know, in the space that you worked in, you probably dealt with all kinds of different people, you know, those who had that high power, you know, personality, I've conquered the world, you know, nothing's going to get me. But then I'm sure you had those that you had to work with. What would you say to somebody that's struggling with, you know, their inconsistencies, and it seems like that's what's weighing them down, but you see such potential, you know, to do great things.
One of the main things I would tell someone who's in corporate America or any environment and you feel like you're struggling, mentorship.
It's good.
For me, I had mentorship spiritually and not saying, okay, co-pastor, we're having all these one-on-one, but I'm gleaning, bishop, now my pastor. But the mentorship is key. Yeah. And so the entire time I was in that space, I actually had a mentor that I could actually bounce things off of, who gave me, like, huge nuggets. One of the things he shared with me, he said, hey, you come into a room mm-hmm. and you go, there's three options, A, B, C. And then you talk so eloquently about A, you've now brought no one along with you. Because mm-hmm. now they're like, well, I sound silly if I don't go with that. Mm-hmm. Just little nuggets of that sort. And where you see your opportunities, like if you have opportunities and you've identified that you want that to be a strength, mm-hmm. find someone with those strengths
yeah.
and then glean from them. The character you want to have, connect to someone that has it, and those skills that you want to have,
yeah.
reading books, things like that, they're going to elevate you in whatever area you feel like you need that assistance. And so that was huge for me. I always had a mentor to help me get to that next level. Mm-hmm. And in corporate America, a couple of things. I was normally the only female in the room mm-hmm. and normally the only minority out, you know, female or African-American female in the room.
Right.
And I would sit in the conference room waiting for a meeting and people would talk to me over the phone. We wouldn't see each other. And then they would come to the meeting room mm-hmm. and assume I was in the wrong place.
Right.
I had someone just kept walking by and I'm like, excuse me, are you looking to meet with me? And he was like, well, no, I'm looking for Shelly Dack. Not, is that you? It was just right. assumed yeah. this can't be you. And I was like, well, I am her.
Yeah.
And so I had to deal with all of that and not have an insecurity and not have a term that, and you can use in any realm, but imposter syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I had to remind myself, I belong here.
Right.
I earned the right to be here. Mm-hmm. And I had a female mentor and she actually intimidated me and I told her that. Mm-hmm. And she didn't pat me up or nothing. She just kept on moving with what she was saying and giving me like, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And then one day we were on stage together and we were about to speak for something at Capital One. And she leaned over and she said, I'm having a moment of imposter syndrome.
Oh, wow.
And that was her way to say, like, even though I look like I'm all put together,
yeah, yeah.
I have those moments too. And she has a mentor. And so mentorship has been key for me.
Yeah.
Corporate world and outside of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really good because
yeah.
It's not one dimensional. You know,
right.
Of course, you know that I'm very big on mentorship and, you know, but I like how you said you had multiple.
Yes.
Mentorships. And so it definitely helps, you know, you can identify, you know, when you have someone that's before you. But also, I like how you said with the one mentor that she didn't flinch.
Nope.
You know, because sometimes we're looking for someone to bellyache with us
yes.
or to sympathize with us. And sometimes you don't need sympathy.
Nope.
Sometimes you just need to keep it moving.
Yep.
You know, because recognizing what's worth spending time and wallowing in and
yes.
what's not. Really,
yes.
there's not anything worth wallowing in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's neat. Awesome to have someone that can be in your life that can kind of stir you in the direction where you think, oh, okay, we're going to spend some time right here. And it's like, no, this is where we're going to spend some time.
Yes.
At, you know?
Yes.
I think that's really good. And yeah. Also one of the things that we talked about in our previous podcast were the benefits.
Yes.
The benefits. And that connects to the life and godliness, but there are countless benefits
yes.
that the Lord loads us up with daily.
Yes.
From out of Psalm 68 talks about that. And then connecting to Psalms 103, mm-hmm. You know, all the benefits that he gives us. And tell us a little bit what you got out of dealing with those benefits.
One of the first things, sometimes you hear people say Psalms 103 mm-hmm. and you're like, I know that. I got the benefits. He healeth me. When I was going over this, it was just like, we forget that these are active
yeah.
benefits.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, and I relate it to like corporate world, you get your benefit package. If
yeah.
you don't do anything with it, it auto renews unless they change a policy. But have we done that with the word of God? Like, these are our benefits. Okay, I got the benefits.
Yeah.
They're there. But are we really tapping into it? Are we really thanking God for them?
Yeah.
Like when we think about bless the Lord and, you know, I love praise and worship. I know you do as well.
Yeah.
I think about like all he's done for me. I
right.
think about how he's redeemed my life
yes.
from destruction because I've made some dumb decisions.
Yes. Right.
And it was like, you clean that up, God. You know, mm-hmm. you got me out of trouble, that he forgives me because I have sinned.
Yeah.
And there's no small sin, there's no big sin, but it's like, God, I think you don't hold this against me.
Right.
And I don't know how many times he's healed my body. And right. So I had to really say, like, you know what? We have become too familiar with Psalms. Or I know it.
Yeah.
But do we know it?
Yeah.
Do we think about it? And do we realize those benefits are actively working?
Right.
Presently. Like he's yes. presently healing. He's presently forgiving. He's presently redeeming. And I didn't, or I missed it being in there in regards to, it talks about how Moses knowed his ways. And
yeah.
that's different levels of relationship that are in there. So.
Right. Which taps into that godliness.
Yes.
Likeness.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
God-likeness.
Yes.
Godly, being godly and yes. being righteous.
Yes.
You know, that it's a part of the fabric of our being. It's a main thing.
Yes.
That should be in our lives as when we give our lives to the Lord. But yeah, the benefits, you know, we can be so stuck on the quoting of the yes. verses and things like that, that if we really use it as a litmus test
yes.
and we study out the benefits, I mean, they're literally, you can't probably read a verse without
yes.
tapping into mm-hmm. his benefits. It would really alleviate a lot of the pop and circumstance that we deal with
yes.
in our lives, mm-hmm. you know, the worry, the doubt, the low self-esteem, you know, all yes. of those things. Because, you know, I ministered or shared in the podcast that it's a setup.
Yes.
It really is. We are set up for success.
Yes.
God did not, you know, send his son into the world to die and do all that he did. He did not leave the Comforter, the right. Holy Spirit here with us and everything else. I mean, right. I can go back down the list again, the love, the joy, the peace,
yes.
you know, the mercy, the grace, you know,
yes,
the angels.
Grace.
I mean, countless
yes.
Benefits that he's loaded us up with daily. He didn't just, you know, it was very calculated
yes.
that he wanted us to walk in victory. And if we're not, you know, and there are areas I can look in my life and say, look, I need to go read that benefit
yes.
part of the benefit package pertaining
yes.
to this, you know.
Yes.
Because in benefit packages, you get things, you know, if you're expectant mother, there are mm-hmm. benefits, you know, that, you know, you get to partake of that. You know, if
yes.
you have a spouse or children, there are benefits with that. And, you know, I'm sure you know even more detail because you mm-hmm. dealt with HR and a mm-hmm. number of different things with that.
And that's good. I love that you say that because in the natural, the package did. You can add your dependents.
Yeah.
But in the benefits, it was like
already.
Righteousness to your children.
Yeah.
So it's like that pours down. So.
Yeah.
Just like you can add them into your natural benefit package, God even set that up to be like,
right.
I'm going to add them into the spiritual package as
right.
well. So I was just like, wow.
Yes.
It belongs to them
yes.
as well. So
right. Mm. It's rightfully ours,
yes.
you know. And so, of course, the enemy, you know, he is the one that's working against us so that we can be ignorant of it.
Yes.
But even when you know about it.
Yeah.
You cannot partake of it. And that's where it connects to that scripture where it says that you have a form of godliness where you go through the motions,
yes.
you know, but you deny the power. The that's a benefit right there. The power that
yes.
God gives us in the earth realm
yes.
to be able to, you know, to be winners, to fight the good fight of faith and all of that, to defeat the enemy. That's
yes.
what we need power for,
yes.
power to defeat the enemy. Power to serve, power to live, you know, a healthy life, all of those things. And so,
yes.
but we don't want to forfeit that,
right.
you know,
right.
And so we have to recognize that just as a part of godliness, being righteous before the Lord is something that we are trained in. When you're trained in it, it's not just a 6-week training course
right.
and you're done.
Right.
It's like once you give your life to the Lord, put yourself in a plan where you're continually availing yourself to be trained.
Yes.
And the same thing with the benefit package.
Mm-hmm.
The first benefit that you learn about when you give your life to the Lord is his love.
Yes.
His love, his unconditional love. But then you put yourself in that training
yeah.
that is a lifetime of training, mm-hmm. you know, and recognizing, which means it also causes you to renew your mind and all
yes.
of that as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
So, you know, we've talked about also you know, when you have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, that means God has set you up for success with what you're going to succeed in. Of course, I know there's a lot of things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, you want to succeed in, you know, in life, but a part of life is, you know, growing and, you know, learning things about career, what you're going to do for the rest of your life, what you're going to do to make a living, what you're going to do in ministry, what you're going to do with your kids. Yes. He puts passion on the inside of us. And so having that mindset of recognizing what you have through the benefits,
yes,
you know, but it also connects to now, how do you prepare yourself for action? Mm-hmm. Because everything about God is action.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Everything about him, even his word, you know, is active. When you really take in his word, and it's not just something you read like a newspaper, not just something that you just get the latest news and you just have head knowledge, but the rhema part of it that's active, that produces something, yes, in your life, you, yes, know. God wants us to take all of that in, you know, mm-hmm, and to you know, apply it to every part of our being, you, mm-hmm, know. I know you said you made a transition, you, mm-hmm, know, and it was a major transition. You talked a little bit about what you went through as far as the depression, mm-hmm, and all of that. But tell me what you did, you know, to work your way out of that depression, mm-hmm, and really began to see the multiple things that the Lord had prepared for you. So not just ministry, but other things too,
yes,
as well.
Yes. For me, it was connecting to my passion. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, you know, you started with that. I had to connect to my passion, but I had to like just see God's face, like pause. Minister Nadja was just talking about that. Like, okay, let's pause.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to be doing now? And I just began to just think about what have I been hearing God say? Mm-hmm. And God just began to just unfold things. Okay, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. This is a timing for this.
Right.
And so, of course, we have our business. And, you know, I dipped into helping that administrative. But I got that automated. I'm like, okay, I can't do anything else with that.
Yeah.
And he just began to unfold. This is what I want to do now. And it was, even with the childcare center, it was, this is something he had said back long ago, but it was like, you weren't ready then. You didn't, right, know. At Capital One, I manage a $100 million budget. My husband, mm-hmm, would tell me all the time, you're going to manage that for the glory of God and things of that, yes, sort. You're going to be on that level. And it began to, as I just sat before him, like, it almost felt like it came in, honestly, co-pastor, like a flood.
Mm-hmm.
Once I was open to hear, God, what do you mean when you say kingdom business? And,
yeah,
what are you calling me to do now in this season? And then I did, like, even when I did in the corporate world, I started going after all of it. And then I had to be like, okay, no, what are you going to do first? And so there's a couple of things that simultaneously he was having me work on. And he's just like, I've built you this way.
Yeah.
And it's like, to some degree, I thrive in not having too much, because when you have that moment of being overwhelmed, I've had those too, where it's, yeah, like, okay, you're just doing too much and you put all this on your plate.
Right.
You don't even have to do all of this.
I think we need to stick a pin in that.
Yeah.
You know, because God makes us so, he packs so much in us, but we have to rely on him,
yes,
to unpack it.
Yeah.
And to know, once you unpack it, okay, this is what you work with first. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. You know, because, yes, sometimes we feel like we may have a glimpse or we may see this is what the Lord wants to do, and we try to get it all accomplished,
yeah,
all in one lump sum, yes, you know. And then that's when we get overwhelmed and burdened down, and,
yes,
and we lose those things, that those tools that we talked about, you know, with organization and, yes, all of that. And the godliness is, it becomes compromised, because, mm-hmm, then we're not having that time managing, mm-hmm, before God, where we get fortified,
yes,
and get, you know, strengthened in him. You know, so there's a lot of things that we throw out the window. Mm-hmm. So stay right there for a little bit and tell.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that part.
Literally having to, and you talk about the sticky notes, and I do that. Like, at the, mm-hmm, end of the day, people see me like, okay, I got that done. Couple of things. One, who writing the sticky notes? Mm-hmm. Because if I'm still getting up, I had to actually pause and be like, okay, I know what Shelly wants to get done today.
Yeah.
But God, what do you want to get done? And that's something, right, you've reiterated, like making sure you take the time to hear, what do you want to get done?
Yeah.
Also, I will add, because I love to help. I love to help people. And I love to, like, if you're trying to do something, I want to get in there. Yeah. And I had to realize, like, there's a time
right
to help. There's a time to make sure people are helping themselves as well. Mm-hmm. There's a time where it's okay. God is telling me, I need you to give this much.
Right.
But you give in 90%.
Right.
Oh, and so for me, it was just, you have to be careful too when you're goal oriented.
Yeah.
I love to check a box. Yes, you know, yeah, like, yeah, got that done.
Does something to you, right?
Yeah, it does something to me. It's like, I have a first family, we get it done. And now I'm training my daughters to be like, we checked all those boxes. But just making sure I'm checking the boxes that God is telling me to do, yeah, and not being so, because I got to work, I was up till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm putting action items in the list.
Yeah, yeah.
And the children are like, what is wrong with you? Like, we're getting dings in the middle of the night because you're... And so having to make sure, like, slow down. You don't have to get it all done now.
Yeah.
Make sure you're in God's timing and you're not trying to force things and go faster than God wants. You don't want to be behind, yeah, him, but you sure don't want to be
ahead of him, yeah,
way ahead of him. And he's like, I'm not even you're in that own. Right now. Your own manpower and your own horsepower is going right. to have to sustain you.
Yeah.
So the grace... for what God has told me to do. And even the Philippians 4, where it talks about and the things that he has, his purposes, mm-hmm, and what he's called me to do. And so I had to make sure, like, what is he calling me to do now?
Yeah.
Because he could call me to do all these things, but are they all now?
Right.
You know, are they all in this timing right now? And mm-hmm, so I even learned certain things. God was slowing up here, speeding up here. And the time worked together for the good. And yeah, I was getting frustrated, like, I'm ready to do the next thing. I'm ready to do. And the delays were, it's not time for that right now.
Right.
I have to slow you down like this because you're so goal-oriented. You're so like, we need to get it done, mm-hmm, which is great.
Yeah.
But make sure you're doing it in my time. And so now I've learned to embrace,
yeah,
the delays.
Yeah.
Because it's showing me like, okay, I'm in the timing of God, and not try to push or force, but be in the rhythm that God is in. And it's helped me not get frustrated with people that, yeah, are like, you're slowing me down,
right,
you know? And
right,
so to get out of that space and just be like, okay, God, have your way in this. Holy Spirit, have your way. And that message for this year has helped me so much because I'm able to pause and go like, okay, Holy Spirit, have your, yeah, way and how to get this done.
Because, yeah, when you're goal-oriented, when you have a drive like yourself, it's like, it's easy to kick into that mode where you're, yeah, self-propelling.
You know? Yes.
So that's good, you know, to be able to, okay, let's get it all in perspective.
Yes.
You know? And so from there, you gathered all that and then moving, mm-hmm, forward, mm-hmm, into, you know, all the things that he has for you to do, mm-hmm, dealing with, you say, child care.
Yeah, we have a business. We're independent service providers for FedEx. And yeah, Bishop talked about, he called us sometime, like, time is irrelevant. And he's like, holiness is goal.
Mm-hmm.
God's about to do something, you know, and so forth. And, you know, Apostle had mentioned like, okay, you're going to be growing in this. And so,
yeah,
I don't know where we're getting called in and we're about to like, look, if this thing is going to be pulling and conflicting with ministry, we'll let it go. Yeah. But God saw that you weren't about the finances, right, over my stuff. Because it was like, I'll let this go before it pulls me from ministry.
Yes.
And we got called in and they were like, we want to grow your business 132% growth, which is ridiculous. And so,
yeah,
now we have much prayer and preparation. And so again, this series on preparation, preparing your mind for action is so, yeah, critical, yeah, because that's a lot. And, right, so we realize we need to have stuff in place and tight so that God can do what he wants to do because he wants to bring in the kingdom finances. But we can't affect the kingdom work, yeah, while we're doing that. And then the childcare, something again many years ago, that came back around and God was like, now is the time. Mm-hmm. And it is just, that calls for renovations. So, right, it's like we were in the middle of doing that, finishing that project up. And then we're also, my son and I'll let him tell his own testimony, yeah, but partnering with him as part of something he's doing that he's always had a heart for in regards to homeless, and God has showed him kind of how to navigate that and also finance it. And so all of this is going on at the same time. And mind you, those are kingdom related. And even the business with FedEx, it's kingdom related because we're getting to minister to young men. We're imparting into their lives, you know.
You're kings and priests.
Exactly.
Wherever you go.
Wherever we go. And God's getting glory. And the business is God did it.
Yeah.
That's what it stands for. And so he's constantly getting glory. So that's kingdom as well. But you still have ministry. And so it's so critical for us now that we're navigating, even as a family, everybody, y'all, we need to know what our roles are. We need to know how to flow. But we need to know how to have balance, slow down, and actually be able to rest.
Yes.
You know, it was brought to our attention by someone else. Like, when was the last time y'all like just took a trip? We take things apart, but like family vacation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't get so caught up in the things that you are assigned to and lose sight of the priority of that rest and spending time with family as well. So we're working on that balance as well.
Yeah. You said, Bishop said that holiness is gold.
Yes.
And that's so powerful. There's a lot that's said in that. Again, it connects to the godliness.
Yes. You know?
And, you know, it's showing that God's going to favor those. He's favored you guys. He's favored, you know, many when they, you know, stick in there, you know.
Yes.
And like I said, Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom and all that. It pays to serve God. And, you know, there's another scripture that talks about how, looking at the advancement of evildoers, I'm paraphrasing it, you know, it says, fret not yourself.
That's good.
You know, don't fret, don't worry, but don't feel like you have to be in competition. Don't feel like you have to, speed up, or, make some things happen because, you know, they may not be happening for you right now, but if you stay the course of, doing right by God, living right, keeping, him first in your life, he will favor you. Mm-hmm. God doesn't forget, this is what he sets as a standard in life. That's what causes him to stand up to attention.
Yes.
Is when he sees a replication of who he is in the earth realm. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, that's when that favor comes. And that's what you're talking about. Yes. The favor. It's crazy favor.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous
favor. It's ridiculous,
You know, it's different if you just got, got a lead, got a tip, to do this, to do that. But no, it's something that's unheard of. And that's what God is beginning to do in the body of Christ. But we have to stay the course.
Yes.
You know, we talked about the consistency, and when you're dealing with consistency, when you're trying to be consistent in something, you just got to stay at it.
Yeah.
You can't give up, you got to keep plowing at it. You fail, one day, okay. Clean yourself up, get yourself back together and go at it again, until you allow this to become a part of you that you don't have to think about it, that it's so much a part of you. You're able to flow and then advance in other areas too as well.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. This has been a tremendous blessing. There's so much more that we could talk about. Is there any one last thing that you want to say? Whether it's capitalizing all that we've talked about or just something that you're sensing in your spirit pertaining to, just whatever that the Lord lays on your heart, just share.
One of the things God has shown me, the foundational piece to godliness is just making up your mind you're separated from sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like it's, how do I do this thing of holiness? Just make that up in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be separated from sin.
Right.
I'm going to be separated from sin and all things. I won't compromise.
Right.
Start there.
Yeah.
In your journey to represent God, and everything else, I feel like it'll help that become, if that's your plumb line, you talk about it, if that can be your plumb line,
right.
and then you can jump off from there in all the other areas of your life of just staying holy, staying committed to God without compromise. Just, I'm going to separate from sin. I want to be an environment for God that He can dwell with me and He can spend time with me. And then I can be a light for someone else in every area. And don't make excuses because I'm in the corporate or I have to fit in. You don't.
Right.
You don't. We're not of this world. And so we should operate like that.
Right.
And people should be conforming to the culture that you've set. So that's
right.
What I live by.
Yeah. So living for God, godliness can be achieved in high levels of various sectors that's in the world.
Absolutely.
That's what you've proven to us.
Praise God.
In this talk. So we thank God for you.
Praise God. Thank you again for having
me. Pastor Shelley. Well, I know that you have been blessed, and there is so much more that we probably could talk about, but we're going to end it there, and we'll get other opportunities throughout the year to talk with Co-Pastor Shelley. You know it's been a blessing. So what do you do when something's a blessing to you? You share it with somebody else because you know that it's about kingdom, right? Don't hoard this information or, you know, just be willing to be a blessing to somebody else. And so I'm so glad you tuned in and listen to this over and over again, because there's a lot that was shared. Amen. And make sure that others do as well. God bless you.